You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. As we do every Wednesday, we are chatting with Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner. Mike, how's it going, man?
Good.
Good.
What a week
good,
one
good.
That was.
What's that? Like, crazy, huh?
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
It just dawned on me. I go to Pro Football Focus every day, and you guys have a lot of new stuff going on. You want to take a second just to kind of tell everyone about what some of the changes are over there and why they should check it out?
Yeah, so we completely revamped what our premium stats look like. We have a lot of new grades and a lot of new tools for you guys to use there. And my favorite thing that we did add this year actually is our Green Line tool, which is it has game projections, win projections against the spread, over-unders, and they hit pretty well last week. I think they went 8-4 maybe last week.
Wow.
I only bet a handful of them, and the ones I bet went 4-0, so I was happy about that. But yeah, they have a lot of – I think last year our locks of the week were hitting like 70%. So the Green Line tool with all the game picks is pretty – it's about as accurate as, you know, data-driven game picks as you'll find out there.
Wow, very, very cool. And I certainly have checked it out. I need to dig into it more. I know you were writing or doing some work recently on the Giants. And what I want to talk about from majority of this podcast are teams that lost in week one. Are you worried about them? And I didn't include the Giants because I didn't have super high hopes to begin with. And they played a good team. But let's kind of analyze this team a little bit. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm on board with you. I didn't have high hopes for them just because they're still fairly flawed in terms of, I just think, along their offensive and defensive line. And the biggest thing for me was they didn't solve their issues on the offensive line. Their offensive line is still a big issue. We saw that week one, Eric Flowers still very bad in pass protection.
Terrible.
Just off. I think he had the lowest grade of any tackle this week for in pass protection. And that's the thing. And the biggest thing is they paid Nate Solder like he was Tyron Smith, and he's not. You know, he's not a lockdown every snap sort of. He's just going to put him at left tackle. And he's never going to give up any pressure sort of guy. He's just a solid left tackle. He's going to give up his fair share of pressure as well. So they didn't really solve the offensive line. And then you look at the other side of the ball, they just couldn't get pressure on Blake Bortles. It's not a good defensive line for – it's a good defensive line for stopping the run. It's not one that's going to get after the passer, though. So I just think along the line of scrimmage, they're too weak. And if they start 0-2, you can basically put a nail in the coffin on their season if they had any hopes of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to me because a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to be a lot better on the offensive line. They signed Solder. They used an early second-round pick on Hernandez. And I like those moves. That's great. I mean, money aside or whatever, that's still great. But they lost Richburg. They lost Pugh. Those were their two best linemen as well. And I'm not saying that's a wash, but you got to factor in who left as well. The other three starters are still pretty bad.
Yeah, the other three starters definitely still pretty bad. It's just that whole right side of the line is going to be an issue. And Hernandez, we liked him a lot, but relying on a rookie offensive lineman to be an upgrade, always a worry. He was not, he wasn't amazing. He held his own, but it was still did not grade out great for us this past week. So issues along the offensive line, and then Eli Manning is not, the Eli Manning of old that's going to carry it all by himself.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a Cardinals-like defense, and maybe Jenkins and maybe Apple can hold up in that regard, but, as a blitz-heavy, leave-corners-alone type of system, and you mentioned, led by Harrison, they do stop the run pretty well, particularly on the interior. But the only way they're going to get pass rush is by blitzing a ton, and I don't know the corners can hold up. The defense seems very flawed to me.
Yeah, it's not the defense from 2 years ago that had DRC and Jenkins, who were, two top-tier corners in their prime. Jenkins still good, but Eli Apple's not DRC, how he played a few years back, and they don't have JPP rushing the passer anymore. They just, like you said, can't get anything if they're not blitzing, and so Alec Ogletree's not a guy I want in man coverage at linebacker either. So
yeah, I think he's worth bringing up because basically for my entire lifetime, and probably for pretty much your entire lifetime for sure, they have ignored the second level of their defense like no other team in the league. And so they trade for Alec Ogletree, who's a well-known guy, people were like, wow, they're going to be good at linebacker for once. I'm like, well, he's not the answer.
No, he was not. There's a reason that, you know, a Rams team who's on the verge of, you know, Super Bowl contention here was just willing to part ways with him for basically nothing. It's because he ain't it.
He ain't it. As we have been all week, we are brought to you by MyBookie. I need you guys to check them out at MyBookie.com. I've been doing this a very long time. I've been hosting podcasts now for about 13 years, pretty much 5 days a week. And since I started, people are always asking me, you know, who should I bet on? And to be honest, I give you guys some pretty good advice. And I urge you to check out the Green Line feature of Pro Football Focus. They're giving some great advice. But what you got to do is you got to go to MyBookie, because it's, while it's important who you're betting on, it's just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. So, they've been in this business for years. They have fantastic reviews online, and their mobile site, which is the only thing I really use, is very, very easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that have been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting. That's one of my favorites. I think you can get a pretty good pulse of how your team's going to be after seeing a few snaps. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business. And a new feature for you fantasy guys out there, it's even, you can even bet on over-under how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Guys, it's free money. Use our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON. You pay, you win, you get paid. So make sure you do that right now. So I have five teams in front of me here that I don't know were Super Bowl contenders. Well, maybe one, the Falcons. That I just want to ask you: are you worried about? And I know it's only 1 week, and I think we cannot overreact because almost all these players didn't play 60 snaps in a game in the preseason. A lot of them played very few snaps. You know, September is kind of becoming an extension of the preseason in the NFL. And then there were some goofy games like the one in Cleveland or the one in Miami where weather was a real problem. But some of these teams, I didn't expect to be bottom feeders, where I kind of thought the Giants would be. Are you worried about the Falcons?
I definitely am. This is one of the teams to where I definitely, for a number of reasons. One, injuries. They literally changed overnight in terms of losing Deion Jones,
right. Losing
Keanu Neal. Those were, that's basically their interior coverage. That's what they rely on in that defense. Those guys to be, you know, both run and pass defenders. And you're just not going to be able to replace what Deion Jones does. He makes more plays. You know, he has more range than pretty much any linebacker in the NFL. He was even in that game against the Eagles, probably their most valuable player on the field. So there's really no replacing what he does. And he misses an extended period of time. It's just a vastly different defense. It just is. There's no replacing that. So
correct me if I'm wrong, but he grades out as a coverage player at Kuechly like levels for you guys, right?
Yeah, he's as good as it gets.
He's
in that Kuechly Wagner. Just linebackers are about as solid as you can be in pass coverage. So losing a guy that level, like I said, there's no replacing it. And then on the opposite side of the ball, the offense still has that stagnating feel to it that it did last year, where you just watch them play and think, how are they not more consistent? Why are they not, you know, moving the ball more consistently with all these weapons on the outside? Matt Ryan, a quarterback, it's the same personnel that, you know, was one of the best offenses of all time a few years ago. And now they're not even close to that. And I do think it's a lot of it is the play calling, Steve Sarkisian. It really can't be. He is an issue there, especially in the red zone.
There's
too many issues there, too stacked a division that they're in, especially with, you know, just Tampa Bay, as you saw, they still have a lot of firepower offensively. So I do worry about Atlanta. I think that week one loss is very big for them.
Yeah, the division and conference that they're in, they can't afford to get behind. I mean, I think we probably both agree that Matt Ryan's a better player than what we saw the other day. I thought he was horrible, to be very honest with you. But, like, Devontae Freeman worries me. You know, I know he hasn't been in the league super long, but with his playing style, his size, I wonder if his best days are behind him, too.
Devontae Freeman? Yeah. Running backs in the NFL just you don't last long. And right. I didn't love when they signed him to a big extension, especially with how much, you know, Tevin Coleman, like the not much of a drop off there from Freeman to Coleman when he comes in the game. So, yeah, I don't think that this is and the fact that the offensive line got manhandled as well, which this is not a young offensive line. A lot of those guys, pretty much everyone besides Matthews and Schrader on the interior is, you know, older. I think they're all 30 plus there on the interior. They can go south quickly at that age. So a lot of reasons to be concerned there.
Yeah. And another team that I think you can, if you're an optimist, you can excuse their week one performance because it was the longest game in history and it was strange circumstances. And there's certainly some injury situation right now around the Titans, but they came here to Pittsburgh in week three and I watched them live. I watched Mariota live and I've been a big Mariota supporter, but I'm having a hard time staying on that bandwagon right now. And that team in general looks pretty rough.
No, I think there's a lot of reason to be concerned there, not just because, you know, Mariota got hurt and because, you know, they do have injuries along the offensive line at, you know, Taylor Lewan now and Conklin was out for this game. But I just think the Mariota, even when he is healthy, is just there's something not quite there with him to lead a high-level NFL offense. It just he's not consistent enough with his, you know, with his accuracy, with his reads, with, you know, just a lot of different things to where I think at this point it's worth saying that he just worth questioning if they can ever lead a high-level offense. Now, I like their defense, and I thought that I think they'll be fine on that side of the ball, but just the offense still is a big question mark for me. And yeah, I think there's a lot of reason to be concerned for Tennessee.
Yeah. I don't know that Mariota plays fast enough, that he processes fast enough, gets it out of his hands fast enough, that used to, and he really never has at this level. And I think people also misconstrue his athletic ability. Yes, he's fast and he can run well in a straight line, but he doesn't do that often. I mean, he's not Tyrod Taylor out there making things happen. He's pretty much a structured quarterback. But if you're structured like that, you better be crisp and you better be, you know, playing on time.
Yeah, as a pocket passer, there's just he hasn't been that guy exactly.
Right, right. How about the Niners? I mean, to me, the Niners walked into a really difficult game. Their offensive line had a rough day. The Vikings defense really showed how good it can be. Garoppolo made some mistakes. The team is, in general, made some mistakes. They're starting to get beset with injuries a little bit, too. I never thought they were a true contender, but I look at them now and say, I don't like them as much now as I did a month ago.
I'm the opposite way. I don't think this was a big deal at all, in my opinion. You know, get Garoppolo, get those picks out of the way, get them, you know, basically, you had about as tough a test as you're going to get this season, week one. And I thought the defense more than held their own. Some reasons for excitement there. Fred Warner played really well. They didn't even have Reuben Foster in this game, who they'll have at some point. I can't remember how long he's out for, but
yeah, good point.
And so reasons for hope on the defense. And then, like, there was a stretch of two plays to where this game is completely different. If George Kittle doesn't drop that bomb, which would have been, you know, and then the next play was a pick six. So, like, that's sort of stretch of plays. If that goes the other way, they don't make that mistake. It's just a vastly different game. So I think I'm not going to hit the panic button just yet. I think there's a lot of reasons for hope for this team still.
Do you think they're a winning record type team when it's all said and done?
I do. Okay. A lot of that's because I don't like division outside of LA. I just think Seattle and Arizona. Arizona is probably maybe the worst team in the NFC right now. So a lot of I do think this is still a could potentially playoff team.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back with two other teams that I am concerned about. All right, before you mentioned Arizona might be the worst team in the NFC, and I don't know that I can disagree with you, especially after how Tampa looked, and, you know, the NFC is very, very good. But what about these Lions? I mean, Arizona and especially Buffalo and Detroit, they showed their asses. I mean, they were awful. I mean, terrible performances.
Yeah, I still do think Detroit's going to run a good offense. I still think they have too much firepower. Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, and then you have an offensive line that I think will be better, even though Frank Ragnow really did not look good that first week. Stafford just threw out a stinker. I mean, that's about we've seen enough of him to know that that's not who, much like Matt Ryan this past week, we've seen enough of him over the course of his career to know that he's going to bounce back. He's going to be fine this season, but just week one, that was not, you know, not his best. So I do think the opposite side of the ball, though, is my bigger concern with the Lions.
For
the
sure.
defensive line is just so, it's so bad on the interior. They just got right. nothing going there outside of really Ziggy Ansah. There's just no one who's going to put pressure on the quarterbacks. And then after that, you know, the second level is just nothing special. You know, Jarrad Davis is fine. I don't think he's a game-changing type linebacker. I don't think he's a Deion Jones, Bobby. He's not even close to that level linebacker. And then outside of Darius Slay, there's not much on the back end. And I do worry about Glover Quinn just looked slow yesterday Monday in that mm-hmm. game. He's, you know, in his mid-30s now, coming off a great year, but it only lasts so long, and especially in the secondary. When you lose a step, it goes quickly. So I just worry about it's not a game-changing type of defense that can, you know, compete there in that NFC North.
Yeah, I actually do think it might be one of the better offenses in the league when it's all said and done. And I'm a huge Kenny Golladay fan. I think the offensive line's pretty good. I think Kerryon Johnson will eventually take over as the lead back. And they got weapons, and I believe in Stafford, despite what we saw. I'm with you on the defense, though. I mean, I look at defense and look at them and say they have about five true starters and then a bunch of other problems. And the early Patricia vibes are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think I tweeted out Monday night. I said maybe it is Belichick, and it kind of is. I mean, what we saw from his defense last year was not a good defense. They got to the Super Bowl because of that offense, not much to do with what he did defensively. And if he's bringing that defense to Detroit, there's not a lot of reason to think it's going to be any better with the personnel they have, you know, in Detroit. They probably have better personnel in New England than they do in Detroit, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't seem like the players are behind him. But another coach that's worried me for years now but seems to be safe for whatever reason is Jason Garrett in Dallas. It makes me crazy that they don't use Ezekiel Elliott like they use Todd Gurley. That's one thing that I have a problem with this team. I think the defense is actually pretty good, and it's the best it's been in a couple of years. But considering the Frederick injury, the bad weapons, they almost need a defense to be the 85 Bears to be good.
No, I agree. I am worried about them, and a lot of it is because, like you mentioned, the usage on offense, just the way they're calling plays. One, Dak Prescott just will not go deep.
Right.
He will not throw the ball down the field. Now, they don't have great downfield weapons, which hurts, but at the same time, he just is, you know, he won't even take those chances down the field. I think he attempted one pass over like 18 yards in that game, and that's just been his MO through the first 2 years. And they could get away with that when you have guys who can win underneath, guys who like Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, who can consistently, you know, make plays, you know, on those underneath balls, and a running game to go along with it. Now they don't really have any of those because the offensive line's not completely dominant like it was a couple years back. And you can only run into, you know, these stacked boxes so many times with a good, not great offensive line that is only going to just, you're not going to be nearly as effective with, like, without that dominant offensive line. It's not going to put you in these favorable down and distances that Dak can consistently convert. So, yeah, I think they need to find a better way to use Ezekiel Elliott in that offense than just pounding him with two tight ends, you know, play after play after play. I just don't think that's the answer.
Yeah, I don't think it's difficult to call a game on offense when your offensive line is just utterly dominating. I mean, you don't have to do a whole heck of a lot as a coach. And real quick on Dak, I thought his rookie year, the public overrated him. In his second year, I thought they underrated him because I thought he had very little around him. But I'm starting to question him a little bit, too. I'm starting to wonder, is he really a franchise quarterback? Is he really the answer? I'm not certain now.
Yeah, I think the deep ball is the biggest issue mm-hmm. with me. And that was my biggest issue with him coming out of college. I just thought he was bad down the field. He was inaccurate on those downfield throws, you know, on the go balls, that sort of thing. And so I think that's part of his hesitancy. He almost knows that he's not great at those, and so he's unwilling to throw them. But again, defensive has sort of figured that out and are squatting on everything. And you saw in that Panthers game, you just saw these off corners just stationary at when the receiver's barreling down at them, and just completely unafraid of, double moves, getting beaten deep on straight goes. And so that just makes all those windows underneath tighter. And now he's not hitting those windows underneath once they've gotten tighter. So it's a sort of, reinforcing cycle that's he's getting worse. Last Sunday's performance was about one of the worst of his career, and he peaked as a rookie and has continually gone down since.
Yeah, I agree. And hey, before I let you go, one team in the opposite perspective, you mentioned the Cardinals. The Redskins manhandled them. Are you buying in on Washington? I sort of am. I mean, I think the Reed, Thompson, Crowder trio is very Alex Smith friendly. I think it's a really good offensive line that just got decimated by injuries last year. And I'm kind of buying Adrian Peterson, especially for that scheme. They run so much on first down. They don't, require a receiving back as much as other teams. And people forget, that's one of the best pass rushes in the league.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. I'm sort of in on Washington as a possible playoff team, and it's not because of the offense. I think they're going to run. Alex Smith's going to, what he's going to do. He's going to take care of the ball. Right. He's going to play efficient football, not necessarily run a high-powered offense. But two guys on the defense really intrigue me, or three guys, excuse me. One is the fact that they signed Pernell McPhee, who looked – he was killing the tackles there for Arizona when he was in the game. And they have Jonathan Allen there on the interior, who looked very good as well, beat Mike Iupati a handful of times as a pass rusher. And then in the secondary, Quinton Dunbar looked very, very good in this one. I think he had a pick, maybe two pass breakups. And he was a guy we talked about last year and who I noticed in one of the games he ended up getting a start or filling in as a backup. And he graded out very well on just a limited like 350 snaps. And he was very good in this game. If he's the real deal across from Josh Norman, all of a sudden you have two fairly good corners, a pass rush with it. That's the recipe for a good defense. And so I think this D could be legit, although they did go against, like I said, a bad offensive line, one of the worst offenses in the league probably this year. So I'll hold out judgment for sure, but the early returns, very good for them.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike, thanks so much, dude. Let's do it again next Wednesday. Where can everyone find you on Twitter?
Yeah, go to PFF_Mike is my Twitter. I'll tweet out all my articles and whatnot from there. So make sure to go follow me.
Absolutely. All right, man. We will talk next week.
Sounds good. Have a good one, Matt.
You too.